Welcome to Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, teaching you how to manage your mind so that you can create relationships you love. And now, here's your host, certified relationship coach and expert in all things love, friendship, and mind drama, Rebecca Orr.
Hi guys, how is everyone doing? I am so excited for this episode. It's going to be a good one. But before I dive into it, I just want to mention that doors to my 12-week group coaching program, Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, open in just 2 weeks' time. And when the doors open, there will be a 24-hour discount of 10% off. So if you're keen to take part in the next round, make sure to go and get yourself on the wait list. I'll drop the link in the information section of this episode. And yeah, make sure you go there and get on the list so that you are the first one to find out when the doors open and when the discount is available. I am so excited for this next round. There have been so many amazing success stories from the last round that I'm going to be sharing gradually over Instagram over the next few weeks. But yeah, I'm just so excited. And if you've been an avid listener of this podcast for a while, or maybe you're just new to it, but you're really struggling with challenging your own default thoughts or dealing with your own relationship situation, your own unique situations, this is where having a program and the guidance of a coach to really guide you through it is going to be so powerful for you. I definitely wouldn't be where I am now without the help of some brilliant coaching minds helping point me in the right direction and see my blind spots that I was completely unaware of. And that really was what helped me get to the place where I am now. So again, head to the information section of this episode and click the link to find out all the details about the program. And then, of course, feel free to drop me an email or an Instagram message with any burning questions that you have. Okay, so in today's episode, I want to talk about some of the beliefs keeping my clients terrified of being cheated on or broken up with. So a lot of my clients are in relationships, but are constantly afraid of what if their partner leaves them one day, or what if they're cheating? And this is something that a lot of the people that come to the group coaching program, that is really what they struggle with the most. And so I want to address a few of the beliefs that I see fueling this fear. And you'll have heard me say on this podcast before that it isn't breaking up with someone that we're afraid of. It's not the actual circumstance of someone rejecting us that is so terrifying to our brains. It's the emotion that we imagine we'd have if they broke up with us that we're afraid of. Emotion you'd feel created by certain thoughts. Your brain is constantly trying to protect you from having any negative emotion. So it makes sense that it would be resistant to and hypervigilant about something happening in the future that it predicts you would have a lot of negative emotion about. And this is true for everything. The reason we want anything in life is because of the emotion we imagine we'll feel if we get it. You want that new car so you can feel happy and excited behind the wheel. Or you want that promotion so you can feel proud and secure in your abilities. We want the thing because of how we imagine we'll feel if we have it. And the same is true for the things we don't want. We don't want our partners to break up with us because of what we'd feel if they did. We don't want our boss to give us bad feedback because of what we imagine we'd feel if we got that feedback. Those emotions are what we're actually most afraid of. And so I've talked in previous episodes about clean pain versus dirty pain, but I'll just summarize it now for those of you that aren't familiar with the concept. Clean pain is the negative emotion we'd want to feel if a situation happened. For example, you probably want to be disappointed if your flight gets cancelled just before you go on holiday. You don't want to feel happy or neutral about that. Just like you would likely want to feel sadness and grief if your relationship ended. If your partner ever broke up with you, you wouldn't want to be happy and just not care, because that would be really strange. You loved them and you didn't want it to end. So negative emotion is a normal response to that situation. You'd want to feel negatively about it. But what I wanted to talk about today isn't the intentional clean pain of going through a breakup. What I wanted to talk about is the dirty pain. And dirty pain is the pain created by thoughts that you would not choose on purpose. Thoughts that are very, very painful and create so much unnecessary suffering. And usually these thoughts are things that we're making the situation mean about us and our worth and value, or about our future and our future happiness. So for example, the fact they broke up with me means I'm not attractive enough or lovable enough. That's a dirty pain thought. You wouldn't want to choose it intentionally. Or this means I'll never find anybody else and I'll be alone forever. That's another dirty paint thought. You're projecting this circumstance and making it mean something for your future. Another unintentional, incredibly painful thought. And 9 times out of 10, when a client of mine is very afraid of their relationship ending or being cheated on or lied to, whatever it is, it isn't because they're afraid of experiencing the clean pain. They're not afraid of experiencing the sadness or the disappointment or the grief. What they're actually most afraid of is the dirty pain. They've decided that this thing happening, them being broken up with, means something about them or their future. And that is why their brain is so terrified. So in today's episode, I wanted to talk through 2 really common dirty pain thoughts that people have about rejection or breakups. And I'm putting them both under the category of scarcity beliefs. And I'll add a little note here just to say that the majority of my clients also have thought about what their partners leaving them would mean about them and their worth and value. Maybe that they're not good enough or lovable enough or attractive enough. That's a whole separate thing that we can coach on. But today we're just going to be focusing on the scarcity beliefs. I have done episodes on the other beliefs and I definitely will do more in the future because they're really, really important to coach on. But we're just going to really concentrate on these today. So I'm going to start with talking about the 2 dirty pain scarcity beliefs, and then I'm going to offer 3 new beliefs to work on that will be the antidote to overcoming those fears. Okay, are you ready? Scarcity belief number 1. If this relationship ended, I wouldn't be able to be happy with somebody else. Now, this belief comes in a variety of flavors. It could be that I wouldn't be able to connect with someone in the same way, or it could be I wouldn't be able to find someone that liked me, or it could be there are specific things you like about your partner and your brain is saying you couldn't find those specific things in somebody else. It could be that you believe the dating pool is small and that all the good partners are taken. So I want you to reflect for a moment on what your brain's version of this is. Do you relate to one of those more than the others, or perhaps it's a bit of a combination of them? The most important thing to do, first of all, is become aware of what your belief is, because this belief is a big part of the reason of why you're so afraid of your relationship ending and trying to convince your partner to be faithful or never leave you, or just wrestling with this anxiety whenever it comes up won't actually change or fix the underlying problem. You have to challenge and change that belief in order to create actual change. And as long as your brain is believing that if this relationship ends, you wouldn't be able to go on and be happy with someone else, you will, of course, always be afraid of your relationship ending. And I'm going to repeat that because it's really, really important. As long as your brain is believing that if this current relationship ends, you won't be able to be happy with someone else, you will always be terrified of your relationship ending. So really take a moment to get curious about the belief your brain is insisting is true. Why do you believe you couldn't be happy with somebody else? And whatever it is, your brain will likely offer you a whole bunch of evidence to prove its story true. Maybe it'll say, well, you dated for X number of years before you found this person. Or maybe you'll think of that friend you have that's been single for a while now and been really struggling to find someone. And you'll think that's proof that the dating pool is small and hopeless, something we need to avoid at all costs. But here's a little secret for you. Your brain is not assessing your actual ability to find another partner and reporting it back to you factually as it is. Your brain is actually skewing the data. It's focusing on all the evidence that proves this scarcity belief true and ignoring any and all evidence that suggests that the opposite could be true. Because this is exactly what brains do with all of our beliefs. They subconsciously scan for evidence of them and dismiss information that contradicts them. And I'll tell you a story about one of my past clients who I coached on this. She was terrified of her partner breaking up with her because she had the belief that she'd never be able to find someone she connected with like she did with him. And when I asked her why she believed that, she said she'd been single for 9 years before she finally met him. So of course it was going to take her another 9 years at least to find another guy. But when we really looked at what had been happening for those 9 years, she admitted that she'd actually been in training to become a doctor for the majority of that time, and so hadn't actually spent that much time and intention trying to date or taking dating very seriously at all. Then when she had actually decided to take dating seriously and really commit to putting herself out there and trying to find someone, it had taken her about 6 months to meet the guy she was with. Now, that's not me saying that 6 months is the aim or that's the normal amount it should take for everyone. Some people could meet someone in a month and someone could be going on dates for years before they find someone they'd like to commit to. But my point here is that her brain was presenting the data as it took almost 10 years for you to meet one person you liked, when in reality, she hadn't been looking for someone for 10 years. The data was totally skewed and biased to try and prove her scarcity belief true. Another client of mine had a similar belief, and when we challenged her brain's evidence, she again said that she had been dating unsuccessfully for years. And when we questioned this, she realized she'd actually not been putting herself out there very much at all. Over the past few years, she downloaded the apps, go on for a few weeks at a time, maybe go on one date here or there, and then give up, delete the apps, and not bother again for a few months. Her half-hearted approach and huge stints of time where she wasn't trying to date at all were of course messing with her end result of actually finding someone to connect with. But again, her brain was presenting the data as, you've dated consistently for years and not found anyone, therefore there is no one good out there. Which was a total lie. This is so, so important to notice, because these beliefs will feel so true. And if we don't slow down to actually consider how they may not be true and challenge them, we're creating so much unnecessary pain and anxiety. And I was coaching a client on this a week or so ago, and an objection came up, which has actually come up with a few other clients of mine. And the objection was, if I believe I could be happy with someone else, if this relationship ends, that makes this relationship with my current partner less special or important, or somehow dampens my feelings for them. On some level, my clients almost didn't want to believe that they could create happiness with someone else if their relationship ended, because they felt like that was being disloyal to their current partner. Don't know if you relate to that, but that's another idea that we really need to challenge. And I know exactly where it comes from. Society teaches us these ideas of the one true love. Think of Disney films and rom-coms, and we hear songs on the radio about love that talk about true love being this idea that you would die without the other person, you couldn't go on without them. It's a narrative we've been absorbing since we were old enough to even comprehend what love was. So of course this then seeps into the way we think about our adult relationships. We end up thinking that loving someone means needing to be miserable and heartbroken for the rest of our lives if that relationship ends. But what if that was all bullshit? What if you could love your partner so, so much and be fully invested in your relationship and want it to work out more than anything, and know that if the relationship ends, you would also be able to be okay? What if those two ideas weren't contradictory, but actually fit perfectly together? What if knowing and trusting yourself to survive and go on and meet someone else didn't take anything away from how much you love your partner that you're with right now? Because let's be honest, when you're currently believing that you couldn't be happy with someone else if this ended, do you feel an overwhelming feeling of love and joy? Or do you feel terribly anxious? See, this belief isn't actually generating love. It's just creating more fear. Believing you couldn't survive without your partner doesn't make you love them more. It just makes your moments with them now tinged with anxiety. Okay, I'm going to move on to scarcity belief number two that I often see. And that is, if this relationship ends, I wouldn't have enough time to meet someone else or to have a family, or I'd be too old. And it's definitely more my female clients that I see having this belief about time. And that's because we've been spoon-fed the belief all of our lives that we are running out of time. The sand is running out in the hourglass, and we need to act fast and be chosen by a guy and lock it down before we become lonely old mates. That's such the narrative. Now, don't get me wrong. Of course, there are actual facts to do with biology when it comes to having children and the rates of success, etc. But even those facts aren't actually the be-all and end-all and aren't ultimately always true. I've had so many women tell me that if they've not met the person they want children with by the time they're 30, then they've run out of time. But I know of 40-year-olds having children, or 50-year-olds who are adopting children. So whatever the imaginary age or time frame is that you've got in your mind, again, you really need to take a step back and consider the validity of what your brain is telling you. What is the magic number or age or deadline that your brain has placed on this, and why is that? And for one of my clients, who is constantly afraid of her partner leaving her, she said in one of our last sessions that if they broke up, she'd be too old to find anybody else. And when I asked her what age is the cutoff point to find a new relationship, she couldn't really tell me. She had the belief she was too old, but she couldn't tell me the exact rule on when becoming too old came into place, or why that was, or when that was. It was again just a belief she'd absorbed by society that wasn't actually a fact. And what's funny is I've coached 25-year-olds who believe that they're too old to find love, 30-year-olds, 35-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds. Like, we think that we get to a certain age and then it becomes true, but we've been telling ourselves this our entire lives, most of us. But there really are 60-year-olds falling in love right now, going out there and finding new romantic partners. There are 70-year-olds, 80-year-olds, in fact. But just notice how your brain is committed to proving its scarce belief true, that there's some kind of deadline. And my client said that although it was true, other people could find love when they're older, she believed that the dating pool would then be smaller and no one would find her attractive. And those beliefs are far from facts and are so, so painful. And so we had to really talk through this in our session. Why wouldn't someone find her attractive at 50? Is that really a fact? Could that not be true? Were there other 50-year-olds newly single looking for someone their age to connect with? What evidence is there of other people that age going out and creating amazing relationships? And I actually set her the homework of researching that, literally heading to Google to find stories of people who have met and fallen in love later in life, just to try and counteract her brain's narrative and show it that it could actually be done. And again, this idea of the dating pool being smaller, of course, something being small or large is just an opinion, but if you were to really look at the facts of how many people exist in the world, or even in your nearby cities or towns or whatever radius you're willing to date within, the gender you're interested in dating and within maybe a certain age range that you're looking for, I think it's unlikely that you'd be down to like 3 people. There are likely hundreds, if not thousands, of potential suitors out there for you, and you only need one. Unless you're polyamorous, which maybe means you'd like to have a few, but even then, you don't need a lot of people. And another thing some of my clients will say is, but my current partner has X, Y, or Z quality, and I just don't think I'd ever find that again. Again, this is your brain in scarcity. And sure, there are things about your partner that are totally unique to them. They're a unique human being. So no, you would never find an exact replica of them. But that doesn't mean you couldn't find someone with different qualities, a different blend of positive and negative traits that you would also find appealing and could also enjoy loving. Whatever your brain's version of this is, I want you to get in the habit of labeling it as scarcity, really calling it out, and then consider, what might someone think who believes the opposite to this? What might someone be believing that felt abundant about this? Which leads me nicely to my next point. I'm going to offer you 3 beliefs to try to shift to counteract your brain's scarcity tendencies. And the first belief is, the world is an abundant place. There are billions of us on this planet. There are billions of people that you have no idea exist. Think about the version of you before you met your current partner. You had no idea they existed before you met them. No idea at all. So just think of all the other people that you also have no idea exist and could also be amazing partners if this relationship didn't work out. And your brain will want to fight me on this. That's okay. But I want you to assign your brain the task of looking for the truth in what I'm saying. What evidence is there that there are people all around you that you could connect with if you ever needed to? And what if you could lean into that belief that if this relationship doesn't work out for whatever reason, maybe you could find another amazing partner. Okay, belief number 2. Your ability to connect with others comes from you, not them. Right now, you're giving your partner all the credit for your feelings of happiness and connection. So you believe that if they disappear or end the relationship tomorrow, you won't be able to feel those things again. But your ability to connect with another human doesn't come from them. It comes from within you. It's your ability. It's your thoughts about the other humans that creates the way you feel for them. So just consider that truth, that your ability to love others is always there because you always have the ability to think loving and connecting thoughts about them. Just like right now you think wonderful loving thoughts about your partner. If the relationship ever ended, you'd still have the ability to think similar thoughts about somebody else. And there is no deadline on creating those feelings. You don't get to a certain age and stop being able to generate connection with other humans. There is no cutoff point. You can create love and connection with other humans on this planet, whatever your age is. And if this relationship ends, decide, how would I love to show up to do that? What would I do? Where would I go? How would I intentionally create more connections with other humans if this relationship ended? And belief number three is you are the one responsible for your results. Now, that may sound like I'm nagging you, but I promise you this is actually really empowering, so stay with me. No, you can't control if your partner chooses to end the relationship. But whether being single equals a life of doom and gloom with no new connections, no happiness, and wallowing at home all alone, or getting out there, meeting new amazing people, spending time with your friends, putting yourself out there, and reclaiming your life is totally up to you. Right now, your scarcity beliefs are painting the picture of doom and gloom. It's convincing you that if this relationship ends, there's no other way it could look but miserable and lonely forever. But you are the one that gets to decide that. You are responsible for your results. And the problem with a scarcity mindset is it will skew your results and give you a negative experience. If you believe you can only be happy with your partner and there's no one else out there for you, we can probably guess that if they ever did break up with you, it would likely take you a hell of a lot longer to move on and create another amazing connection. Because that's what you've been telling yourself for so many years, that it's hopeless and a connection with somebody else doesn't exist. So why bother? You will create the result of loneliness and scarcity simply because it's what you believe. And I was coaching a client on this too, and how she was afraid to feel lonely if she was single. And that was the thing keeping her so afraid of being broken up with, is she related being single with being lonely forever. She had this doom and gloom image of it in her brain, sat alone at home, no connection, feeling terrible. But that is the result of a scarcity mindset and believing that you aren't able to go and creating an amazing life if this person leaves you. But you can be single and enjoy so much connection and love from friends and family. And when you're ready, go out there and find another amazing romantic partner. You can decide today that if this relationship does ever end, that you will of course grieve it and feel the pain from it, but then you will bounce back and make the most out of life. You will believe there's amazing people out there, and so you'll go out there and actually find them. You won't give up and create a reality of misery. You'll believe in the reality of abundance and love and connection, and so that is what you'll create. And this final piece I want to leave you with is so, so important. You do not need to convince your brain that your partner is never going to leave you in order for you not to be so anxious all of the time. We just need to convince your brain that you would be okay and thrive even if they did. Okay guys, that is all I've got for you today, and I really hope it helped. And if this did resonate with your brain, I'm going to be able to teach you how to properly use and apply thought work tools to your own life in my 12-week group coaching program, Master Your Relationship Mind Drama. This program is where you're going to finally learn how to overcome your anxious brain's tendencies and create genuine feelings of security and confidence, even in the uncertainty that is human relationships. The latest round has been absolutely amazing, and I just know the next round is going to be even better, so you do not want to miss it. And if you have any questions at all, my email address is in the show notes, or come and find me on Instagram and ask me any questions that you have. And as always, if you are loving this podcast, it would mean the absolute world to me if you could go and give it a rating on whatever platform it is that you're listening from. This is how I can keep spreading the word of this work and reaching more and more people with the message. So please do that if you get a chance. I hope you all have an amazing weekend, and I'll speak to you all next week. Bye.
If you're loving this podcast, you can also hang out with Rebecca on Instagram and TikTok at Rebecca Orr Coaching. Don't forget to sign up to her email list for exclusive freebies and for more information on her one-to-one and group coaching programs.